I'm excited today to join Julia and talk through breach and attack simulation and assume compromise assessments.
Excellent. Great to have you with us today, Chris. Thank you for joining us. And as Chris has just said, we're here today to talk about breach attack simulations, which are a form of assumed compromise. So today we're going to specifically talk about how breach attack simulations can help technical leadership in strengthening their security posture, but we're also going to be talking about it from the perspective of executive leadership and managing risk. So let's start with what is breach attack simulation. Breach attack simulation is the automated testing of simulated malware campaigns, and they can be ransomware or they can be other types of malware. And they allow you to validate the existing controls that you have in your systems.
So that's really important, right? Malware over time does change the ways in which the adversaries execute on their objectives, and how they do things within environments has changed. You know, we're showcasing Lockbit through this activity, but they change. And every sort of ransomware variant is slightly different in the way in which they operate. So having a simulated event type scenario where you can continuously test your controls is truly important.
Absolutely. And it's a really good point that you've raised. Malware and ransomware in particular is constantly evolving. Classic example is Lockbit, which is part of why we're demonstrating Lockbit as part of our event. A couple of years ago, Lockbit was entirely focused on encrypting all the data and holding you to ransom that way. So if you had good backups and you were able to restore them, you were usually able to get away with not paying a ransom and still getting all your data back. And so it was very important from a ransomware perspective to always maintain high quality backups and test that you were able to restore those backups. Since then, ransomware gangs have adapted quite significantly and first moved on to doing what is called double dip ransomware, where they would exfiltrate and encrypt data. So if you had good backups, you were able to restore that data, but the ransomware gangs were still able to hold one over you because they could publish sensitive data from your organization. They've now moved on even further because they've recognized that a lot of detection tools are able to detect when there's a lot of encryption happening on devices, and they often now skip the encryption component altogether and just hold you to ransom by threatening to publish your private information.
They really moved to more of like an extortion operation, right? So getting in silently, taking your data and then holding you to ransom and really holding out the reputational aspect is something that the strategic leaders and the decision makers are going to potentially, you know, make different decisions to how you would normally approach a crisis like this.
That's right. It's very different when the threat is public humiliation, effectively. That's right. It's not just about shutting down your business operations for a few days while you restore data or you missing a few days worth of data. It's about that public damage to the reputation of your organization. And that's what they're really threatening organizations with now.
So talk me through the process, Julian. You know, how do we go about conducting an activity like this? So testing of your controls and ensuring that they work at the level in which you hope they do is truly important. A term of control validation, right? As a strategic leader, I want to ensure that the investment that I'm making within my tool sets are giving me investment, but also that they have a level of that they are working to the respectful levels that I would accept.
That's right. And part of the reason for running a campaign, it may be because you have a requirement due to a framework or due to external control requirements to run the type of test regularly, but it's also about that these malware variants, ransomware variants, are continuously evolving and they're changing their tools and techniques. So the configuration of security tools, particularly top-end security tools, their efficacy is all based on continuously tuning and improving what they're able to detect. So running this type of campaign allows you to do that tuning. Preferably this campaign is run as a purple team exercise where the attackers work together with defenders and they're able to test which elements of a ransom campaign the existing tools are able to detect and potentially how they can be better tuned to further detect different tools and techniques so that you can improve your security posture without needing to purchase new tools.
Fantastic. And, you know, the cool thing about this type of activity is that it doesn't just need to be scoped into a small activity of control validation. You can build it into a wider program of work around your incident response capability, right? Your business resilience measures. So whether that be your executive level tabletop exercises, operational level tabletop exercises, your simulated events, which we're showcasing here, but then also moving more into your business continuity disaster recovery program, right? And making sure that things that you built up, the capability that you built up in that space is effective and that you get into testing of your resilience measures within your business.
Exactly right, Chris. So yes, you can use this as a means of validating your technical controls, but you can also build it into a much larger campaign where as part of the simulation or the emulation, you're able to then call on your incident response plan, engage the various resources that you have in that incident response plan, and ensure that you're able to get a hold of those resources in the right amount of time, ensure that your defenders are able to get access to the right tools, potentially isolate the right devices, and basically run a test of all your defenses, not just the technical defenses, but your processes and procedures for dealing with this type of incident as well.
So Julia, talk me through the process. So in the case of spinning up a segmented cloud environment, maybe another tenancy, loading up a virtual machine, storming some agent, and then throwing some attacks at the machine, is that how we provide the simulation?
Ransomware emulations, as we deliver them, are completely safe to run in production environments, and we in fact recommend running them in production environments. If you get attacked by a real threat actor and ransomware is deployed, it's not going to be deployed in an isolated, specifically set up environment. And so to get the most efficacy and the most accurate type of understanding of what controls are working and how your response works, it's important to run this emulation in a production environment. So we will usually deploy this on a user's endpoint with regular privileges, and it will test whether it has the right security configurations so that it can't escalate its privileges, so that it can't spread through the network. It's completely safe to do so. So it's not going to encrypt the data that is in your production environment. It does all the validation with test data, which it itself deploys on that endpoint.
Fantastic. And so say an organization may look at this activity as a control to establish within their environment to ensure that, you know, the wider controls are working. How often would you recommend, or at what point would you, points in time, would you recommend organizations conduct this type of activity?
It should fit in with their existing framework requirements, which may require, let's say, twice a year, testing and validating existing controls. It's really something that should be looked at as similar to a penetration test. So if you have a case to deliver pen tests, say twice a year, every 6 months, something like that, you should look at threat emulation in the exact same way, because penetration test is all about, can that initial access be gained and have changes been made in the last 6 months, be it to attack techniques or your internal systems, which may change whether an attack is successful and an initial access is successful in a pen test. The same thing happens for threat emulation. So systems change, tools and techniques change, and so it's important to regularly validate whether those changes have impacted your security configuration, your ability to detect and respond to ransomware or other malvariants.
One thing that comes to mind, Julia, it could get quite awkward, right? Imagine being an executive leader or Vince Fiver, maybe a CISO who's signed off on an quite a significant amount of investment into a tool stack, only to find out that, you know, when you run these simulation events, that there's huge gaps in the ability to monitor and detect and potentially further into the response process. What's your view on that?
These types of assessments are not a pass or fail type of assessment. They should be a collaborative approach to improving whatever your security posture is. So regardless of how well or how poorly the tools do, point of the exercise is to fine tune them and get the most out of what you have. So if the test goes terribly in the customer's opinion because the existing tools don't live up to the expectations of the customer, that's okay, because it means that you're getting a lot of value from the assessment. You're allowed and able to make a lot of improvements and test those improvements as you're going. So it is certainly not a pass or fail type of assessment. It's a means of not only validating goals, but also improving them so that you do get what your expectations are.
Cool. And that would be really quite a useful thing for our technical leaders out there, like our security architects or our domain architects that work in developing really good value into businesses, and just ensuring that once we buy into those security controls, into these projects, initiatives, features, services, what we're delivering, having the ability to leverage a tool like this to really validate that, that things are working is a good way to deliver a project or deliver an outcome.
Exactly. So you get the benefit of that technical validation. You also get the benefit, regardless of how the test initially responded, you get to show your board of directors or other stakeholders that either everything worked as expected, or we've been able to lift our game as a result of this assessment, and we can prove it. We can repeat that assessment and continue to prove that.
And tweak it as well, right? So if there's other use cases in which we might want to look at, so insider threat, for example, you could build out the behaviors associated with an insider threat type activity, and you could potentially run a simulated event in that scenario.
Exactly right. So you can run it from the perspective of an insider threat. You can also look at what types of attacks your industry are most likely to experience. Whether you're in the financial services sector, critical infrastructure, whatever sector you're in, there are usually specific attack groups, threat groups, which are likely to target your organization. And we can tailor the regulation to best fit your organization or your compliance requirements.
There's a lot of movement, right, to more of a threat or approach to cybersecurity. There is a place for risk management around your compliance activities and ensuring that you're reducing risk to the business. But that's threat aspect, right? Really looking at what the adversaries are doing and being able to take that and then simulate it in your environment to really test yourselves. It's truly quite fascinating.
It is. And that's part of why we chose Lockbit for our specific event. There have been quite a number of high profile events here in New Zealand and also in Australia in the last 12 months, which have involved health organizations, but also IT service providers. So we wanted to put Lockbit specifically under the microscope and show what types of tools and techniques, what types of indicators are likely to come up as a result of a Lockbit infection, and also what the best types of responses and controls are.
Lockbit are notorious, right? So they've been around for a few years now, and they've gone through various different iterations. But the Lockbit ransomware is quite an interesting ecosystem.
It is. In fact, we prepared a slide to take us through the timeline of Lockbit ransomware. Let's take a quick look at that. Do you want to take us through what we're looking at there? This is going well. There it is. Lockbit 3. So what are we looking at here?
So on the left-hand side, you're sort of looking at around 2018-2019 was the first emergence of, you know, the Lockbit ransomware. It was initially adopted by ABCD by earlier security researchers. And then over the years, in 2021, we had a software release of their latest ransomware, which was dubbed 2.0. And then they did another update, which went to 3.0. And then sort of in the last year, there's actually been a builder. So
that's right. They had a disgruntled employee. Lockbit has quite a large ecosystem of external and internal staff. And there was someone obviously somewhat disgruntled with how things were working. And it was this builder code leaked, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And so what we're finding now is that, you know, that malware is now in the hands of many different criminal groups. And so there's different ways in which they're employed, right? And so this brings us back to the simulation type activity, right? You need to be ready for the variances, differences in the way in which these malware operate.
That's right. So I'm quite excited about running this specific event because it's very much topical. It is absolutely the type of ransomware which New Zealand organizations are likely to encounter. And it gives us the opportunity to go through what we're likely to experience during a lot of ransomware incident without all the stress and the chaos. We get to validate that our technical controls work, but also our policies and processes and procedures work as well. Do we want to talk a little bit more about what those processes and procedures are? So we've got not only encryption and exfiltration, but there's also persistence, which gets tested. There's always communication control, and the simulation is able to test for all these types of things. And so we're able to better detect not only the exfiltration and the encryption, if that still happens as part of the ransomware, but we're able to fine tune the smaller types of evidence that are likely to occur before the big bang, so to speak. So I'm quite excited about that. And it lets us test whether the controls that we have in place are designed specifically to test a very specific signature, or whether they're able to adapt and look for trends and behavior types rather than specific signatures, which is really what we're looking for. It also allows us to test this from a business risk perspective rather than just technical. So from a business risk perspective, what do you think will be the most value that customers are likely to see from a breach attack simulation?
I think really it's just around, you know, assurance of controls. There are significant investments made within a wider cybersecurity program, and being able to go through and ensure that you do have that level of efficacy, that you can engage the right stakeholders and say that you are getting that return on investment, is really important. Also the compliance piece, you know, there's a lot of different compliance frameworks in which our customers need to comply with, whether they're internally specified or even externally specified through laws and regulation. You know, having this level of assurance across your controls really reduces the risk of compliance related negative outcomes.
Very true, very true. And from a perspective of the event that we're going to hold, there's also the fact that it's a lot of fun. So when you don't have the chaos and the urgency of it being a real attack and something that your business needs to respond to, you get to sit back and appreciate the fun side of running this type of simulation. And so that's part of why I'm really looking forward to running the event that we're going to be running. All right. Thank you very much for joining, everyone. I hope you're able to join us for the threat emulation event as well. And either way, please keep an eye out for any future videos.